Hi, everyone. We'd like to welcome you to Real Talk. I'm your host, Pat Terrio. We're talking about a subject matter today that may have touched your home, your life, or someone that you may know. We're talking about gamblers' addiction. You know, there's so many addictions out there in the world, and, you know, gambling is just another one of those that attaches so many people. We've got two trusted servants here of Gamblers Anonymous. We've got Mr. Dennis Bell and Mr. Lewis Ratliff with us today. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. Fine. How are you doing?
Very good. You know, we're so pleased to have you here in the studio today and to be willing to share a bit of your journey about what you've gone through. And so we'd first like to talk with you, Mr. Bell. Introduce yourself to the people out there.
I'm Dennis Bell. I live in Macon, Georgia. I'm originally here from Dublin, Georgia. And let's see, I've been in Macon 37 years.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us about, so what are you doing now? What's going on with you now, Mr. Bell?
As it relates to gambling? No gambling right now.
No gambling.
No, I've been in Gamblers Anonymous since 1989. Mm-hmm. I didn't get serious about it until January of 2003. Mm-hmm. Started a meeting in Macon, Georgia, May of 2004. So mm-hmm. that meeting's been going on 10 years. And been talking to Lewis here for several years about getting a meeting going here in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And we finally worked it out and started one 3 weeks ago.
Fantastic. All right, Mr. Ratliff.
Well, I met Dennis through Gamblers Anonymous after I realized I had a problem. I started going up to the meetings in probably 2007. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't seriously start working the program until 2012. Mm-hmm. Back and forth. But I got 2 years clean under my belt now. And I think that I wanted to bring that feeling to Dublin, so we got the meeting started here in Dublin.
Very good. Well, congratulations to both of you. Now, you two said two very important key things to where you said you had to first admit
right.
that you had an issue. You know, when you're talking about a 12-step program, that's the first thing. You have to admit that you have a problem. And then you also said you didn't get serious about it.
Right.
Talk to us about that, about not getting, you know, to what was the turning point to where you finally got serious about your recovery?
Well, I didn't attempt suicide, but I contemplated suicide mm-hmm. in 1989. That's when I first got into the program. And with my ego, I thought I was too smart, mm-hmm. Too well off to be in that position. And I said, I can beat this. Mm-hmm. And I can gamble at the same time.
Right.
And I went through that, suffered through that for 14 years. And it was just an up and down staircase all the time. Mm-hmm. I won a lot of money. I also lost a lot of money.
Right.
Winning was far more dangerous than losing money. Mm-hmm. I just felt invincible when I won money.
Absolutely. And when you talk about that, it's an adrenaline rush.
Well,
you know,
Well, we explained that. It's not, a lot of people assume that compulsive gambling is all about money, and it's just the opposite. It has nothing to do with money. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is the adrenaline rush, the endorphins that are set off.
Absolutely.
From the gambling.
Absolutely. All right, Mr. Ratliff.
Well, strange how you would ask that, because when I first went into the meeting, I thought it was about the money, but later on I did find out it was about the action mm-hmm. and the rush of gambling. What really was a turning point in my life was I started taking monies for household expenses and mm-hmm. church money and other things, and I just went down to the bottom. And I think that was a turning point in my life when I had filed bankruptcy mm-hmm. To save my home,
right.
To get out of some of the debt that I had impeccable credit before I started gambling. Mm-hmm. But it got to the point where I couldn't borrow a penny from nobody,
right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying, because right. of my gambling. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a turning point with me.
And, you know, with any turning point, it's a hitting kind of rock bottom.
Right.
You know, because with addiction, it's something where you do compulsively, and despite the adverse, you know, things that can happen that can destroy your credit, destroy your family, can destroy your life, you still have that something in you to still have that desire to do it.
That's true. Sound like you've been there.
You've done your homework.
I don't gamble, but I do understand about addiction.
Okay.
And so let's talk about how your journey was for someone when you're talking about you felt like that could not be you. You could not be that person to where you had these type things, and there's no way you could be this person to hit that kind of bottom.
Well, I consider myself fairly well educated, and I've always done real well with jobs and making money. Mm-hmm. But there was something inside me that just kept driving me to wanting to gamble. Mm-hmm. I didn't fully understand it then.
Right.
I thought, well, maybe it's something in my family history, but we have no other addictions in my family. Mm-hmm. So I'm mm-hmm. kind of a chosen one, I guess.
Right.
As I said, I didn't take it seriously in 1989, and I just right. had that struggle for all those years. There were a couple of other occasions where, once again, I contemplated suicide. Mm-hmm. And finally, I just decided, maybe I'm not quite as smart as I think I mm-hmm. am. Mm-hmm. Maybe these other people who've been trying to help me
right.
can actually do something, and maybe I just need to shut up and listen to them.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. January 7th, 2003.
That's awesome.
And mm-hmm. the more I got involved into the program, mm-hmm. The more I wanted to do, I thought, well, gambling's my only issue. Mm-hmm. And then once I got into the 12-step program, I realized there's a lot more wrong with me
right.
than just gambling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working on that for 12 years.
That's fantastic.
And there's going to be a lot more work to do.
We're all a work in progress.
Sure.
Let's talk about how it affects your family, because addiction doesn't just affect that individual. It affects your family.
Well, it affects, like I said, it almost caused me to get a divorce mm-hmm. From my wife. I have a church family, too. It affected me at my church family because I believe in tithing.
Right.
I stopped giving the church their monies, mm-hmm. and that was very painful to me because I know that God was responsible for me making it anyway, the mm-hmm. money that I was making, but yet I was stealing, robbing him to go gamble with. Mm-hmm. That hurt mm-hmm. quite a bit.
Right.
That hurt quite a bit. So that was also a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. I like to say that Dennis was probably very instrumental in me being to where I am today. He didn't give up on me. Even after I went to the group and started messing up, mm-hmm. he still loved me. Mm-hmm. From a distance sometime, and close up, but from a distance sometime.
Right.
And when I did decide to come back, he welcomed me in with open arms. And with that love, I think that was enough for me to continue. And then finally, I finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got it.
That's wonderful. And you know, and which is great is that Dennis had to get to the point to where he needed to be able to help you.
Right.
And that's what the program's all about. It's
yeah.
paying forward
yeah.
all the time.
Absolutely. And, Gamblers Anonymous, what the premise of Gamblers Anonymous, it was founded in 1957 to help individuals, men and women, to not relapse. You can easily say, well, I've been clean for 3 years that I'm done with gambling, with anything. You have to still.
Yeah, still work at it. That's a work in progress.
It absolutely is.
It's a work in progress.
So let's talk about what's going on with Gamblers Anonymous, where you two are the trusted servants out of the Macon branch as well as the Dublin. Let's talk about what you're doing now.
Well, we have a meeting once a week at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Macon off of Sardis Church Road. Mm-hmm. That meeting's been going on for over 10 years, about 10 and a half years. I also attend a meeting in Griffin, Georgia mm-hmm. on Monday nights and since the meeting started here in Dublin on Monday nights, I alternate. So I go to at least two meetings a week. Mm-hmm. I'm also involved with the Gamblers Anonymous Intergroup, which oversees all the meetings in mm-hmm. all of Georgia and northern Alabama. I've been involved with them for about 3 years, I guess.
About 3 years. Since you two have been there and done that and got the T-shirts for it, what can you look for in an individual when you can actually see that person, has a problem? Because a lot of times people think that they can manage it.
Well, when you first come into the fellowship, for the first time, mm-hmm. there's a test that's given to you. Mm-hmm. And that test will determine whether or not you have a gambling problem. And everybody that comes into it for the first time is given the test.
A test.
A test, right.
With questions where they have to answer.
Yes, it's a yes or no question. A yes or no question.
What are some of those questions? Or are you able to even expound upon that?
Yes, well, some of the things that I talked about, like mm-hmm. stealing money to pay to gamble when you had money to, or if you got bored, would you go and gamble to try to pacify how you're feeling right mm-hmm, now? Mm-hmm. You know, that adrenaline rush that we're talking about.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, those are some of the questions. Mm-hmm. Have you contemplated suicide because of your mm-hmm. gambling, you know? Mm-hmm. Have you lost time from work because of your gambling? You know, those kind of questions, right.
And so, and why do you feel, you know, in this area, is it a huge problem with gambling? Would you say that it is?
With, number one, the lottery, I guess. Mm-hmm. Gamblers Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues.
Right,
so what
right.
I'm expressing are my own issues. The lottery is a problem. Online gambling is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest problems that I see are these illegal machines in the convenience stores.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably saw in Macon this past week, they've indicted, I think, 6 people so far. It's been out there for years. It's a big cash cow. And the way it's been going, it's been handled illegally. So there's a lot of money changing hands.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and too, with the economy, sometimes people feel very desperate. You know, they're like, if I could only win the lottery, if those, you know, if my numbers come up, you know, a lot of people have these big hopes and dreams that the winning the lottery will, you know, it'll save them, so to speak, rescue.
Let me say this, that, mm-hmm. you know, gambling for some people is fine, and I mm-hmm. I don't have issues with that.
Right.
But for the problem gambler or the compulsive gambler, the only excuse I needed was the sun coming up in the east. And I was going I could go down there. So, and it's, that may sound funny,
but
it's so realistic.
I mean,
you can convince yourself, well, I need extra money to mm-hmm. pay bills.
Right.
So I'll go gamble and I'll get that money. And then you lose that and say, well, I've got to get that money back plus the money I need.
Mm-hmm.
And it just escalates and becomes a snowball.
No, I'm sitting here listening.
Right.
And I heard you asking them a question, how did it start? Or you asked them about the lottery. I do know I was heavily involved in my church when the lottery was on the docket to be voted upon.
Right.
I voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody around me kept doing it. And so finally one day, I went and purchased a ticket, a scratch-off ticket.
Right.
And I hit $500. And when I hit $500, man, a light went off in my head.
Is that right?
And I went chasing $500 for a long time.
Right.
$500 cost me about $500.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It did, $500.
Escalated.
That's how it escalated,
mm.
you know. Because I thought it was $500 on every ticket. Dennis used to joke me, you know, because I didn't go to casinos, I didn't sports bet anything. All I did was scratch tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not a gambler, but I was just as much addicted as he was
mm-hmm.
going to the casino on the scratch off.
Mm.
You know,
and you know, Dennis said, and that's something, because I remember going to Las Vegas for a week. That's probably about 14 years ago. Was there for a week, didn't gamble once. I'm not a gambler, but I saw so many church buses. there were church buses lined up along the hotel, and you saw the little ladies in there with their nickels and their slot machines. I mean, into the wee hours of the morning, and those were church buses.
Wow.
Those were people from the church. You know, so for one, it's no respect of person.
Right.
Right.
Once you get that taste for it,
right.
so to speak.
Right. It doesn't discriminate.
It does not discriminate. It doesn't. All right. Now, Mr. Ratliff, tell us about the group here that you've had 3 meetings so far here in Dublin.
I'm grateful to the Carl Vinson VA Medical Center
mm-hmm.
for allowing us to have a meeting at their facility. It began 3 weeks ago. We meet at 6:30, room 1B.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main entrance at the VA hospital from 6:30 until 7:30 every Monday.
Wonderful.
I've had 3 meetings. I have a young lady that comes from Soperton, She did try to come to Macon, but it was a little bit too far.
Right.
She's very grateful that we have this meeting started here in Dublin. She's been to all of the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping now that we'll get some more people involved, especially after viewing this on television.
Absolutely. To definitely bring awareness about it. Because sometimes you can be doing something and don't even realize you have a problem.
Exactly.
Your family members, your friends, they can see the actions and realize that something's a little off, but the individual may not even see that.
Well, the one thing we want to stress is there's hope.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times compulsive gamblers are at the end of the ropes and
mm-hmm.
don't know where to go. Well, there is a place to go and there is hope and we can help you.
What do you think hinders people?
For me, it was ego.
Mm-hmm.
Pride. I have friends right now that I talk with that has gambling problems.
Mm-hmm.
They know, they've watched and witnessed the change in me.
Right.
So, but the pride won't let them come and admit that they got a problem.
You know, pride comes before the fall. Isn't that what the Bible says? It really does. And I think that hinders a lot of people.
Right.
But when you can actually get past that, I'm sure you two have been at a state emotionally of yourselves of actually when you actually can kind of look back and see the carnage of what gambling has done to your life.
Right.
You know,
a lot of wasted time and
a lot of money.
The family, mm-hmm. I think, is probably the toughest thing to recognize.
How did it affect your family?
Well, I went through a divorce with two small children
mm-hmm.
Back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And remarried and have another daughter, but she was kind of grew up when I was at the peak of my gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has seen both sides of it.
Right, right.
And all three of my daughters have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're proud of me, but at the same time, I was thinking about it today.
Yeah.
You know, it's lost a lot of time there,
mm-hmm.
especially with the holidays coming up.
Yeah.
How many holidays was I really absent, even though I was there?
Right. Present and body.
I wasn't truly there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the holidays are coming up mm-hmm. here in a couple of weeks.
And, you know, during the holidays, there's a lot of gambling that goes on during the holidays. I remember seeing the signs up at the hotel in Las Vegas for Gamblers Anonymous. And it asked some of those questions that you're talking about that they take the test.
Right.
And, you know, when I read it, you know, myself not being a gambler, I thought, they're like, are you spending all of your mortgage money to gamble? And to me, I thought that was crazy.
It is crazy. No one says we're not crazy.
I'm not calling you crazy, but it's the truth.
I joke about it at meetings all the time.
Yeah.
Especially when I have someone new, I always tell them we're the nicest bunch of crazy people you'll ever meet.
So let's talk about this hope. Let's talk about this hope because we're quite sure there's some people out there that feel hopeless.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I didn't disguise myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to see me, especially those who used to gamble with me in the stores.
Right, your running partners.
My running partners in the stores, you know.
Right.
I'd go in the store and I'd buy a whole roll. I'd stand up there and scratch it. But I almost got insane at one time scratching the tickets because I'd go in there and probably buy 20 tickets. And then somebody come in right behind me and see me and buy one ticket and hit the money, and I wanted to kill somebody.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know what I mean? That's
exactly.
How insane I was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Getting mad at what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I get mad at the owner, got mad at the person.
Right.
I said, man, let me quit this before I kill somebody, have a heart attack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really.
You're speaking truth.
Yes.
You're speaking truth.
Yes.
So what do you do now because gambling, compulsive gambling,
right.
is an unhealthy coping mechanism. What do you do now to cope with stress? What do you do now to cope with certain pressures? What have you changed in your life that you used to do that used to make you feel good as opposed to now?
Number one, I acknowledge it myself,
mm-hmm.
and that's something I had to do. That's all in the steps. That's step one. And realized I had a problem. Secondly, I had to do something to fill that void, and that is the biggest problem
right.
we see in the program. You know, once we convince someone to stop gambling, what do they do with all that time and
yeah.
energy
mm-hmm.
that...
What do you do? What do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's a good question because they're left like that.
This is a story I tell. Lewis has heard it 1,000 times. But I worked out of town. I'd be gone 2 weeks, and I'd come home for a week. And I used to like to cut the grass. Mm-hmm. And I cut the grass 4 times in 1 week. And the last time I was going to do it, my wife said, "Oh, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to cut the grass." And she goes, "The neighbor's going to think you're crazy." I said, "Well, I am crazy, but this keeps my mind
right
off gambling." Mm-hmm. And what does it matter what you do?
Right.
I mean, I get out and walk.
Mm-hmm.
I walk a lot.
That's good.
Anything to relieve the stress. But as someone new, we want them to be able to communicate.
Right.
When you come into a meeting, we give them a phone list and let them know, call me. I get phone calls all hours.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And if I've talked so many people out of just not gambling at that moment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if they can get past that moment,
mm-hmm.
then perhaps you know they won't gamble at all.
One moment at a time.
Say that phone doesn't weigh 500 pounds.
That's right. Pick it up. That's right. All right, Mr. Ratliff, talk about some coping mechanisms.
Well, as you know, I'm heavily involved in the First African Baptist Church. I serve as chairman of the deacon ministry down
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep busy down at the church. I also do a little reading, especially some of the Gamblers Anonymous material. The front of that book of the recites the surrender to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I can't change anybody but me.
That's right.
You understand?
Right.
So the change has to come within me.
You're right.
Once it comes within me, then I can spread. It come out and I can spread. So I recite the surrender prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so you two, you're talking about, filling that void, that time, that space that's in your head. You know, cutting grass, walking, reading, being involved in your church. All those things are fantastic ways to cope. Because it's a daily thing that you have to do.
Right.
Never ending.
Right.
Because you're still, there's still temptations out there.
Every time.
You see those big billboards when they tell you millions of dollars?
Yeah, it's strange. Did you mention that about the billboard? Dennis and I and another friend of ours was coming back from a Griffin meeting one Monday mm-hmm. night. And they... Mega Million was $130 million or something. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
So Dennis said, "How much did that sign say up there?" I said, "I don't know. I didn't look at it. All of started lying, you know." But, you know, everybody, he looked, all of us looked at
all
it.
Of
we
you
had a big,
at
laugh, big laugh about it. Yeah. But I didn't see it. But
that's so funny. And it's good you got a sense of humor.
Right.
Because it would, it would really right. get here if you didn't have some type of sense of humor to kind of, is laughter is a medicine. You've
yes.
got to be able to laugh about it. All right, well, we're going to give you each the floor to talk to the people out there to give them some hope about the situation that they may be in right now and knowing how it has affected you as individuals, how it's affected your families, the people that love you and care about you. So we'll start with you, Dennis. And
let Lewis go first. I want to arrange a couple of things.
You do? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. I just want to tell anyone that has a gambling problem that there's a better life. Mm-hmm. I had to get down to the bottom of the pit before I realized it. And I'm grateful for this gentleman here for all of his support, for helping me, and even encouraging me to get a meeting started here in Dublin. I realized that the only way that I can keep what I got is share it with somebody else. So I'm hoping to share what I've received with you in order that I can maintain where I need to be.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Ratliff. All right, sir.
As I said before, there is hope. The Gamblers Anonymous program is a safe haven for compulsive gamblers. It's probably one of the only places you can go where you will be understood. You'll be communicating with people who have, walked in your shoes. We don't judge people.
Right.
I've heard some horrific stories, and I guarantee you there's worse out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the main thing we want to dwell on is that there is hope and there's a place to go. Do have a couple of plugs I'd like to make. The hotline in the state of Georgia, that phone number is 404-237-7281. They will direct you if you're in the Dublin area. They will direct you directly to Lewis. If you're in the middle, somewhere in the middle Georgia mm-hmm. area, north of here, they'll direct you to me.
Okay.
I'm involved with the Georgia Council on problem gambling was mm-hmm. newly started. They offer counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it, you know, they take insurance. Some of it, they do pro bono.
Right. So, oh, that's good.
And the reason I like them, they will, part of their program is sending people to Gamblers Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
So the number for that is 888-ADMIT-IT, which is 4848.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, that's 888-236-4848. One other thing, and Lewis left it out just a second ago, we'd like to thank Dr. Frank Jordan mm-hmm. out at the VA.
Right.
He just bent over backwards for us, and they've yeah. been very, very gracious. So we can't
wonderful.
Thank him enough.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Okay.
You heard that, Frank? Thank
yeah.
you.
Good.
All right. Well, we're so pleased to have had you two with us today. Thank you for your being so candid by sharing your journey with us, because we do know that the first step is to admit that you have a problem, and you two have been so gracious to share that with us and to provide hope for people out there.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Okay. That's all the time we have today at Real Talk. We want you to please keep watching. And please, if you have any issues concerning gambling or someone in your family, please contact the numbers at the end of the show. Thank you all so much for watching, and please keep watching.